This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Well, Mike, this Jaden Daniels story we went over yesterday, the whole number thing. DJ Pickett, who was given the number 5 at LSU, won't budge. He's not moving on it. Says that was one of the contingencies to get him to LSU. Lane Kiffin even mentioned it, saying, yeah, that was kind of part of it. He wanted that number, and it wasn't retired, so we assumed it was available. DJ Pickett, who is LSU's cornerback, is wearing the number 5, which is now a big hot-button topic around LSU and the sports world. Pickett said, I've worn the number my whole life, since I was 4 years old. It's the number I was promised by LSU. I wish Jaden the best, good player, and he did real good here. So that's all. An attorney representing Daniels, I mean, come on, man, has informed LSU that it can no longer use his name, image, and likeness, according to an August 5th letter sent to Tigers Athletic Director Virge Osbury, a copy of which was obtained by ESPN yesterday. This is a wild, wild, weird, pointless story, to be honest with you, Mike.
Yeah, it is. It's clown news. This is the only time I'm actually rooting for Lane Kiffin. You know how much I dislike the guy, but I'm rooting.
We didn't talk about this yesterday, but was this a wise decision? Great player, one of your Heisman winner. Should Lane Kiffin have not given the number away? Should he have fought harder on this? Now, he wasn't the coach. Obviously, this is his first year with LSU. He wasn't the coach when all this was going down, when Jaden Daniels was doing his thing. But should he have tried to honor LSU history a little bit more? Just food for thought. Devil's advocate, I guess.
No, absolutely not. You know what you should honor? The upcoming season. Honor the upcoming season. Get the best talent that you can. If the guy wants a number... You know what? Peyton Manning wanted to wear number 18.
Jaden Daniels did release somewhat of a statement saying, hey, he loves and appreciates everything LSU did for him, and hopefully they can get it resolved. But it sounds like that's the only way to resolve it. Like, how do you resolve it? If DJ Pickett is saying, no, I was promised that number. That was one of the reasons I committed here. Maybe could have went to some other schools, but I was promised this. It's an odd thing to me that I understand why sometimes numbers mean a lot to people. I get that. But you're wearing a Terrell Davis jersey, and we were talking about this during the break. Philip Lindsay, that jersey number is not retired, number 30. But Philip Lindsay, when he got on with the Broncos, reached out to TD and asked him for his permission to wear number 30.
No,
we applaud that, right? We applaud that, but we also, at this story, we think it's kind of silly. So,
well, the number
they are sacred, like, to some.
Terrell Davis had been retired for a few years. There were other people who had that number. Everybody knows there's a huge difference between John Elway and Terrell Davis. Terrell Davis had a shorter career. John Elway, his number deserves to be retired, whether he won the Super Bowl or not. 30 wasn't enough to be retired.
How many jersey numbers do the Broncos have retired?
Just two. 18.
Is it just the two?
Oh, 44.
For Floyd?
Yeah.
And Floyd makes sense.
the franchise.
Yeah, kind of. I don't know. Is he like that? I just tell you, man, the only way I'm retiring a number if it's like obvious greatness. And I don't know that Floyd Little even fits that.
Floyd Little fits because without him, there's a lot of speculation that the Broncos would have moved. Because
right.
They were not super popular.
He kind of showed the organization that they could build a franchise here. Because he was that good of a player. He was a star player that fans got behind. So he was one of those dudes. So I guess it kind of makes sense. But, man, what a weird thing. The Minnesota Timberwolves will retire Kevin Garnett's number 21 jersey after they face another of his former clubs, the Boston Celtics, on February 28th. The team announced today. It'll be the second jersey retirement for the 15-time All-Star after the Celtics did so for number 5, funny, in March 2022. Kevin Garnett. See, like, he's a stud. He's a great player. But Minnesota didn't win a championship. He didn't win a championship with him. He's one of the legends of the game. I loved Kevin Garnett. But I don't know. The whole retiring of numbers thing to me is odd. Faith texting in. They can use the name, image, and likeness then. Not like LSU doesn't have other great players, and they have other Heisman winners. So, sure, they won't be lost without Daniel's NIL. I guess that's kind of how I view it, Mike. Is if you're LSU, this has gotten so sticky that I'm just like, screw it then. We won't ever use Jaden Daniels to promote anything here. Even if he becomes like a legend in the NFL, which would be really sucky for LSU. It'd be tough for LSU. But I think I'd be at the point where I'm kind of just saying, fine.
If it's me, I'm so pissed off. I don't even invite him to some of like the big retire these jersey numbers. Because that's... LSU was your school. You represented them. And now you're going back in time and you want it. No, this is my number. Like, that hurts LSU.
Yeah, it does.
I hope this kid like gets like 12 interceptions next year.
I'm kind of rooting for him. I don't know. I think it's petty on probably both sides. It's a number. I think if I were Lane Kiffin, though, I wouldn't. Now, they must really want this player. But that, I think I would even say, like, hey, guys, are we good to give that number out? And maybe LSU just said, yeah, go for it. It's not retired. Because not a lot of teams retire. Look at Kevin Garnett. He's been out of the NBA for a long time. And Minnesota's just now retiring his number. It's not common practice to retire. Like, I know CU did it 5 seconds after Shador's last game.
And half the Yankees' jerseys are retired.
But they retired Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter's number. Which is odd, but that's not the norm. Typically, you don't see numbers getting retired right after they play. And Jaden Daniels was in college not too long ago. What is this, his third year, Mike? You don't typically see programs retire a jersey number right after they're done, even within a few years. It takes a lot of time for a school to decide or a program to decide whether or not they're going to retire a jersey number. So who knows? They might have retired his number at some point, but not right now.
Yeah, even if we wanted to retire number 30, you have to wait like 10 years.
Yeah, you do. And again, I think Coach Prime made the world think that, hey, we could just retire him right after. I didn't have a problem with retiring Travis Hunter's number. I still think waiting. Hey, Google this for me, Mike. Did LSU retire Burrow's number? Can you look that up for me? Yeah, that's what Big Hub says. They have Joe Burrow, so it's okay. I think they asked Burrow about it, too, and he's kind of like, I don't know. They didn't?
Because Joe Burrow's number 9 is not officially retired by LSU.
Again, how long has he been out of school? He's been in the league for... He hasn't been in the league for 10 years yet. You have to give these things time. And it's just... It's odd. So, no, they didn't retire his number. There's a lot of great players, Mike. You and I could sit here and make a list of all the Broncos we think are worthy. Like, Shannon Sharp, is he worthy of a retiring? Yeah, he's worthy of it. But is he John Elway?
No.
You only retire the guy like Nikola Jokic, number 15. That's it. I wouldn't retire anybody else's number for the Denver Nuggets. I know Alex English's is and Dan Issel and that. I wouldn't. For the Broncos, who's the second greatest Bronco of all time, Mike?
TBD.
Is it Peyton Manning?
I mean, yeah, you could say that, but he wasn't with the Broncos that long.
But
I can understand retiring his jersey in 20 years.
Who's the second best Bronco ever? Is it Peyton Manning? Is it Terrell Davis? Is it Steve Atwater?
I want to say Terrell Davis.
Okay. Good player. Great player. Hall of Famer. Not worthy of a jersey retirement. Like, I'm telling you, the only reason you should retire a jersey is if that player is one of the great of the GOATs. One of the GOATs. That's the only way you do it. If I'm Minnesota, I'm not even retiring Kevin Garnett's number. I'm strict on this stuff, Mike. It's like my Hall of Fame. Because if you start retiring guys that were really, really, really good, and yeah, they might have won a Heisman. Like, I don't have a problem with the Buffs retiring Travis Hunter's number because he won a Heisman, but I wouldn't have done it. Is Travis Hunter the greatest Buff to ever do it? I don't even think they have Slash's number retired. Cordell Stewart. They have a lot of great Buffs that they didn't retire. So
this was a prime thing.
Yes, it was a prime thing. I just don't like retiring numbers. I think Faith texted this in yesterday. At some point, you're going to run out of numbers if you just keep retiring everything.
And you have teams that have two players with the same number, one offense, one defense.
Right. So, no, this whole retiring of a number thing is just odd. I thought it was respectful that Phillip Lindsay called Terrell Davis, but not necessary. But it was a cool thing that he did it. That's why I was rooting for him to really make it with the Broncos.
And he could have. I think he had those 2,000-yard seasons.
Two in a row.
The
his rookie
first
year.
First Bronco in a while to do that.
Right. He was such a good running back at CU. I was so shocked he didn't get drafted.
Yeah, that
just
was
too
weird.
Small, I guess. But he made an impact.
The NFL sometimes makes stupid decisions. Like they say, oh, this guy's going to be great because of this height. Well, then he disappears and becomes nothing. Sometimes they analyze things way too much.
Yeah, we got the Denver Nuggets schedule out, Michael. I don't know why people make such a big deal about the NBA schedule. Because, I mean, they're going to play them all. I don't know that it really matters. But we make a big deal about it. The Nuggets will start their season October 22nd. At Oklahoma City. Like that one, yeah, sure. Just because it's the first one. It's the first of 82. But the rest of the way? I don't know. So that'll be on ESPN. I look at just like the national games. So that one's going to be on ESPN. They'll play Golden State on Peacock on October 26th. They've got a game against Houston on Prime November 20th. NBC on November 24th. Oh, and then the Cup. I forgot about the Cup. December 4th, 5th, 8th, 9th, and 11th. And 6th, 7th, and 10th is all just the whole, the Cup.
The NBA Cup is really stupid.
It's the dumbest thing ever.
It's like having weeks 7 and 8 in the NFL be like, we've got the special award.
And it means nothing. Like, if it really meant something, then maybe I would get on board with this. But it doesn't mean anything. There's no reward, really, other than a trophy. And, yeah, the guys get a bigger paycheck. Players that don't play as much that are part of the team get a bigger paycheck. I don't care about that stuff. That doesn't do anything for me. If you really wanted to make it something, then you would say, hey, it's the winner of the cup gets an automatic bid into the playoffs. Like that's how you add juice to that, Mike. But that would be too bold.
Yeah, still, like, that team could be undeserving. They could be the worst team by the end of the year
just
because
got hot in the cup. Yeah.
Injuries.
But that's the only way you make this thing interesting. Name another way you could make the NBA Cup interesting.
10-72 Utah Jazz make it into the playoffs automatically because three of their victories.
You give them, like, a draft pick or something? The players don't care about that because that's just the guy that could potentially take their job. So I don't really care. I don't see it. But the Nuggets schedule is out. We do have it. Neato. I'm I'm too concerned about what's going on with the roster at this point to be looking ahead at the schedule.
And how much will you not celebrate if the Nuggets win the NBA
Cup? Oh, no, I don't care. It's just a regular season game to me. That's all it is.
It doesn't matter what, like, you just want to win games so you get to the playoffs. This NBA Cup thing is, like, stupid.
Yeah, no, I don't like it. This is just an Adam Silver thing, though.
Two-time NBA Cup winning Denver Nuggets.
Didn't the Lakers,
they did miss the playoffs.
Didn't the Lakers raise a banner for that? Cup winner?
Yeah. Lakers have the biggest collective ego in sports, except for maybe, like, the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Yeah, I don't get it. 20 minutes after the hour. Broncos are playing tonight. What to watch for preseason action. We'll get to that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The countdown to kickoff begins with training camp. KFKA puts the spotlight on the Greeley West Spartans tonight at 5 p.m. Brought to you by Weld Community Credit Union.
Hey, this is Ed Lamb, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
You ready for some Broncos football tonight, Michael?
I'm hoping to see the game late.
Oh, you're going to have to record it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well. Oh, hey, before we get into the Broncos, you had a mission last night. Tell us about that mission.
My mission was to watch some WNBA football.
Basketball, buddy. Yeah.
WNBA basketball. Mm-hmm. I watched the first 2 minutes of the last 2 minutes of the second quarter of the first game. Not very good.
Really?
And then I fell asleep and woke up for the second game, and that was better.
Oh, really?
Then I fell asleep again.
So you actually committed to this, man. I'm proud of you.
I did. I fell asleep quite a bit. I don't want to blame anybody other than the fact that I had to wake up early that day. So I did not get to see a lot of WNBA basketball, but I can tell you, some of those girls can really pass. Some of them are real good, like a behind the back bounce to your player who throws the ball off, banks it in.
You're not going to get this kind of analysis anywhere else.
Yeah, no analysis. I wish I hadn't fallen asleep, because what I saw of the first game was really terrible. One for six on three pointers, and a really terrible turnover.
Well, you know what? It happens. But I'm proud of you for actually watching. Aside from Jonah Coleman, what's your biggest interest in tonight's game? I'm assuming the Jonah Coleman thing is the biggest interest to you tonight.
No, absolutely. But overall, I want to see how the defense does, especially a defensive backfield. I want to see the linebackers. I want to know how good Jahdae Barron is.
That's the big one for me. That's the big one. Is how will they use Jahdae Barron? Is he, are they going to move him around in different, because Mike, he can play, like when they drafted him, there was this thought that, okay, he could play safety too. We can move this guy all over the field. Now they have good safeties, but I think Jahdae Barron is definitely one of those of interest for me. How about the backup quarterback position? Are we good with Jarrett Stidham? The guy got a really bad rep after the AFC Championship game. The bad play that he made might have cost the Denver Broncos the game.
The one bad play.
And it was really bad.
It was a terrible play. We've seen backup quarterbacks, you know, run out of the end zone trying to, that might have even been a starting quarterback, running out of the end zone to try to avoid a safety and getting a safety by himself. Like we've seen quarterbacks make big mistakes, and yes, this was a huge one, but it was the only glaring mistake. And yeah, they didn't play well in the second half, snowstorm.
No, it was pretty much who was going to be in the lead once the storm started, it was whoever had the lead was probably going to hang on to it.
Yeah, I truly believe that even without the snowstorm, Broncos would have won.
Texter
with
here,
the snowstorm, they probably should have won.
Texter here from the 970. Main thing I'm looking for, can we tell how much Sean Payton will actually let Davis Webb run the offense? Yeah.
Good one.
That's a big one. I guess we're going to get a real preview of that tonight. Now, you're not pulling out all the stops. You know, you're not, you're not going to see a lot of crazy stuff scheme-wise from offenses and defenses in these preseason games, but you are going to get kind of a feel for how Davis Webb, you know, calls an offense. And yeah, that's a big one. Definitely interested in that. How, you know, the rookies tonight. You got Jonah Coleman, obviously a big one. We're going to probably see Cage Casey, the offensive lineman out of Boise State, Mountain West dude. Justin Jolie, the tight end out of NC State. They got two tight ends this year in the draft. Dallin Bentley as well. How is that going to work?
Also, Red Murdoch.
Red Murdoch's the big one. Mr. Irrelevant. And I think a lot of people are really rooting for that guy. So I know I am. I'm very interested to see kind of what he has, you know, because you can make a team. You can insert yourself into the actual rotation of linebackers if you have a great game tonight. If Red Murdoch causes a fumble, that's what he did in college. That was his calling card, forcing fumbles. If he does it tonight, then yeah, it's going to bode well for him.
If he does that tonight, I think the song Bad Bad Leroy Brown needs to change to Bad Bad Red Murdoch.
Maybe. I'm not sure if I love that.
Baddest linebacker in the whole damn town.
No.
Stripping the running backs.
No.
Getting an awesome sack.
Now, obviously, preseason games, I don't care. I don't care who wins or loses. Doesn't really matter to me. I hope it's an exciting game. I think the running back room is a big interest there. I agree with the texter. Let's see, you know, Davis Webb, how he handles his first time. Really, you know, he called some plays, I think, in one of their preseason games last year.
Is it the Saints?
I don't recall. But I know he actually ran one of the games. So it's not like this is the first time, I guess, but like the officially, as the offensive coordinator, we get to see him run the show. And again, if they score 10 points tonight, it's not like, oh, is Davis Webb bad? Or are they not going to be able to figure this out? You can't read into it. It's all about individual matchups, I think.
And, you know, it is preseason. He doesn't have the whole playbook. If there were just a bunch of really, really terrible decisions made by him, then we could go, oh. But I just don't see that happening.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to have to be something really extreme that would happen tonight to make you go, oh, wow, how's this going to go?
Yeah, like when CU did that trick play on their own 3-yard line against Nebraska.
Yeah, maybe don't do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I didn't think they would pull it off, and they did, and it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, but I don't want to see too crazy of stuff. I think Jarrett Stidham. I think, and you're one of these, Mike, I know. If Bo Nix plays in that game, the Broncos are going to the Super Bowl, and they're probably winning the Super Bowl. I'm not disagreeing necessarily. I'm just not quick to jump to that. I just don't jump to it. Because I don't know, Mike. Are we entirely convinced that Bo Nix in a bad weather game is good? I saw him in one really bad weather game, and that was the rain against the Jets, and he was really bad. Really, really bad.
Yeah. And he played in Oregon, so he should have been used to that rainy weather. But then again, John Elway couldn't throw a wet football.
Yeah. Wasn't that Aaron Rodgers, too, with the Jets, and he was bad in that game, too. They were both pretty bad.
Yeah. What was it, 10-9?
Yeah. Something like that. It was pretty rough. 12:32 the time. What are you looking for tonight's game? Broncos preseason action going up against the Atlanta Falcons tonight. Give us your thoughts on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Michael, first, before we get back into Broncos stuff, let's jump out quickly here and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Here in Colorado, doing business is more than a transaction. It's a handshake, A neighbor helping a neighbor. And at Bank of Colorado, that's the way it's been since 1978. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado. And as Colorado's largest family-owned bank, we're built on personal service and a commitment to giving back. From local schools to community events, we invest where you live, work, and grow. Because this is more than business. It's home. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Brock Wisney, former UNC men's basketball player, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
So the Broncos run into kind of another obstacle when it comes to this new stadium, Michael. A key city council member this week, according to Elliot Wensler of the Denver Post, said this week, she doesn't support one of the remaining steps officials had hoped to take to finalize the deal for a new Denver Broncos stadium at Burnham Yard.
What's the final step?
Councilwoman Jamie Torres, whose district encompasses both Burnham Yard and the Broncos' current home at Empower Field at Mile High, told the Denver Post on Thursday that she had concerns about where Denver Water may relocate part of its operations as the team takes over most of the utility's land at Burnham Yard. According to the Post, her views as a representative of both neighborhoods will carry significant weight on the 13-member council, which would have to vote to approve the deal. She said, "I don't see a future for Lot M with the Denver Water use. We are trying to figure out what alternatives exist." I don't know much.
That's her district?
Yeah.
I don't trust her.
Yeah, but that's one they need. They need a 13-member council. They would have to vote to approve the deal. Is it majority?
How many out of the 13?
I don't know. That's what I was just thinking. Is it a majority kind of deal or what? Lot M, 5-acre parking lot in Sun Valley near Empower Field, has been pitched as a potential site for relocating Denver Water's emergency response facility.
She sounds like a NIMBY. Not in my backyard.
Well, when you talk about water, ask our guy, Paul the Waterman. You hear his show on Saturdays, Michael.
At 8 o'clock.
He knows a lot about water. I wonder what his thoughts are on this. It'd be interesting. I don't know necessarily all the logistics and all the details that would go into this. But again, Lot M is a 5-acre parking lot in Sun Valley near Empower Field, has been pitched as a potential site for relocating Denver Water's emergency response facility. The building needs a new home because it's currently located in the footprint of the proposed new stadium site at Burnham Yard. That could be tough. I mean, if the city and Denver Water and the Broncos can't find a way to get an agreement here on this of where the building should go, it could really complicate this deal. So we're all getting crazy about personal seat licenses. And yet, that's why Greg Penner the other day said, that's the furthest thing from my brain right now. We still have a long way to go before we even get to that. They got to get a site. They got to get it all approved of where they're actually going to put it, even though they've already invested a lot of money around Burnham Yard. They've already poured money into this, Mike.
Well, if the council member blocks it, which sounds she had a lot of constituents complain to her, so she's probably like, yeah, I want to get reelected. And look, it's fair, it's Denver Water, but would you rather the taxpayers pay for the building? I mean, they're still paying for the infrastructure, like the water and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But would you rather the taxpayers do it? Because that's the next step.
Wouldn't
find a place? Fine.
Would it be on the taxpayers to move the building? Like, the construction and everything that goes into that, wouldn't that be on the taxpayers?
Yeah, infrastructure would be like having the water get to the toilets and stuff.
Team owner Greg Penner this week said that the timeline is not going to be easy with all the work that still needs to be done. And obviously Denver Water's relocation is the biggest factor standing in the new stadium. In the new stadium's way at this point. Denver Water provides water to 1.5 million people in the metro area. Agreed last year to move its operations from Burnham Yard so that the Broncos can relocate, so long as its ratepayers aren't stuck footing the bill. There we go. Most of the utility's campus will move to a property in Denver's Elyra Swansea neighborhood. But the emergency facility must be centrally located to quickly respond to water line breaks and other urgent issues.
Well, if the Broncos pay for the relocate, I actually kind of agree on this. I don't want the, I want as little taxpayer money spent on the stadium as possible. So I understand her argument, but it also sounds like NIMBYism.
I think it's more complicated than that. Denver Water CEO Alan Salazar is, according to the Post, is still holding out hope that the utility can use Lot M while mitigating the community's concerns. He said, "I still think Lot M is the path of least resistance." Denver Water has leaned into supporting the relocation of a new Bronco stadium because we recognize the positive impact a new stadium could have for Denver. At the same time, the relocation and replication of our critical facilities is also important to the community. Broncos representative was reached out to about this article, declined to answer a question about whether the team would be willing to pay for the plot of land Denver Water needs. So that might be one of the negotiation situations here too, Mike. It's like, hey, help us out to relocate this place and help us pay for it if you want to put the stadium there.
I kind of agree with that.
I mean,
that,
the Broncos,
but
they're already in this, though. They finalized a deal to purchase land from SRM Concrete and the Colorado Department of Transportation. So they've already done that. They're already pouring money into this. So for
and
the,
if they
for
get
this,
screwed.
Yeah, then that would... What are they going to do with that?
Build another shopping mall.
What are they going to do with that land? They already own it now.
You know what they could do?
The land from SRM Concrete.
They could build a bridge over a park that's unnecessary.
Okay.
That's a Denver thing.
Okay.
They wanted to spend like millions of dollars for a bridge that goes over a park because something about the homeless.
Well, is this going to get done? There? Because that was, obviously that's where they're wanting to put it there. That's their idea. But we also heard like around the airport too. Like that was initial. But it seems like they've already invested a lot of money in this. So they're going to fight hard to make sure they get that new stadium at Burnham Yard in Denver. Yes,
you know,
Michael,
what I think?
What?
If they're unable to do this, they should build a Walmart superstore or a Walmart center there. Just like, okay, fine.
Wouldn't they
We're
still
gonna keep that
have...
land and have our Walmart stuff there.
Would that not still run into water issues?
Not as much as the stadium.
Maybe not.
Like if Denver Water, if the politician says no, Denver Water stays, and there's not enough room for a stadium, build a Walmart.
Okay. Well, they would have to do something with it
because
they're already going to buy it.
Because they do own that land.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they own all the land that every Walmart is on. Maybe they do.
I don't know the answer to that.
Neither do I.
Maybe they do.
I'm guessing probably not. Like they own the building itself, but do they own the plot of land of the one on the Walmart on 10th Street?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not.
I just got a text here about the center position for the Broncos. They're going to mess around with Bo. He's going to get hurt unless they resolve their center issue. They better figure something out. What are you talking about? Wattenberg has like an arm thing. It's not major. I think he's okay. Have you heard anything new about Luke Wattenberg that I'm not hearing?
No, I have not.
I don't think he's playing tonight, but neither is Bo Nix. And it's a lot of guys banged up at this point. But
and it's the preseason. You're not going to play everyone.
No.
You'll play the people that you want to see more than the people you already know. So if this was a real competition, I think you'd see both.
Is Alex Forsythe injured? Can you look that up? Is he hurt? Did I miss something here? I don't know. I'm just getting this random shot here that's like terrified about Bo because the center position. I haven't heard anything that leads me to believe Luke Wattenberg is really seriously hurt or anything.
Currently sidelined from training camp practices with an undisclosed injury.
And what's Wattenberg's status? You guys are playing into it too much here. I don't even show Luke Wattenberg on the injury report. I just don't think he's playing. I think Bo Nix is not on the injury report either. They're just not playing. Welcome to the preseason. Yeah, Alex Forsyth is listed as questionable right now. And as Michael said, he's been held out. But I think Wattenberg's fine.
But how many questionable people? Like, questionable is supposed to be doubtful is 50%. Questionable is your 75% chance to play. So, and towards the end of the season, how many of our studs are listed as questionable? Like, you watch the injuries pile up. Questionable. You need to worry about
people
out
are just,
or doubtful.
This just gives everybody too much time to freak out. Yeah, because it's all we've been doing is getting updates. Oh, this guy's not practicing. This guy's not practicing. This guy's not practicing. It's kind of one of the luxuries you can afford, isn't it? That this team is kind of set. I mean, they go make the big new addition in Jaylen Waddle, but for the most part, this is the same offense. For the most part, this is the same defense. So I think it's a luxury you can afford by saying, hey, we're not going to force everybody to practice every single day. J.K. Dobbins missed a day, and you got media outlets saying he's injured. He comes out the very next day, and Keeler told us, he's like, I think he bounced back quickly because he's worried about the competition, but I think he bounced back quickly because he might have not even been scheduled to practice, but I think he wanted to shut everybody up. Because that was all you were hearing. Well, he pinky promised. He's already hurt. I knew that was bad. He might miss some games this year, but we got to be careful with how we're reporting on this. Are they hurt? Are they injured? Are they just being held out of practice? And it sounds like that's exactly what was the case with J.K. Dobbins at this point. He was just held out of practice.
Sounds like a lot of clickbait.
Yeah, we want to freak out.
Because some of these sources are real.
But people tend to freak out when it comes to anything injury related or hurt related or whatever. They just lose their minds, and I don't know. So the center position, I haven't heard anything from Sean Payton to lead me to believe that Luke Wattenberg is not going to be a go whenever Bo plays. I will say if they play Bo, when they do, I hope they play Luke Wattenberg to protect him. Yes.
I do too. Good docs.
Yeah, definitely need to do that. 48 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here, and then we'll wrap up hour number two. We got the clip of the day coming up. Also, Michael Porter Jr., might be in the selling market of something very significant. So we'll get to that coming up. Fascinating clip from Draymond Green as well that I want to get to. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe and Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The countdown to kickoff begins with training camp. KFKA puts a spotlight on the Greeley West Spartans tonight at 5 p.m. Brought to you by Weld Community Credit Union.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, the Raiders were happy with their rookie quarterback last night, Michael Fernando Mendoza. 10 of 16, 97 yards, and a touchdown pass for him with a with a rating of 100. Kirk Cousins did play in that game. He went 5 of 6 for 50 yards and one touchdown. Over under, 6 weeks in, who's the starting quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders?
It'll be Kirk Cousins, but week 8 he'll be pulled.
Oh, week 8 is where you're going. So,
I think they're going to have a terrible season.
I think the Raiders could be bad. They lost to the Cardinals 27-14 last night, preseason, whatever. Obviously, the story is Fernando Mendoza looked sharp, looked good. But they're still going with the Kirk Cousins option, at least to start this thing out. So time will tell. Coming up next, we got the clip of the day. Why is no one talking about the Broncos? Wait, what? Is that really a thing? People aren't talking about the Broncos nationally? Really? We'll talk about it. Coming up next, we'll talk about the Broncos. I can guarantee you that. Keep it here on the whole show, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.